Welcome to the deep dive. Looks like we're headed back to the 1950s for this one. You guys sent in some legal excerpts, really fascinating stuff, dealing with a landmark case about racial discrimination and labor rights. Conley v. Gibson, I believe.
Yeah, Conley v. Gibson. A pivotal moment in legal history, for sure. Still resonates today.
So let's dive in. We're talking about black railroad workers in Texas, right?
Exactly. It's 1950s America, Jim Crow South. You gotta imagine the realities of segregation and discrimination back then. Especially in workplaces like the railroad industry, we're talking about job losses, demotions. These workers felt like their union, the Brotherhood of Railway and Steamship Clerks, wasn't really on their side.
Didn't have their backs compared to their white counterparts.
Exactly. They claimed the union just wasn't representing them fairly. But it goes deeper than that. They actually alleged the union was actively participating in a plan to replace them, these black workers, with white workers.
Whoa, that's a heavy accusation. So this is where the Railway Labor Act comes into play.
Yeah. The Railway Labor Act of 1926 is key here. It was put in place to prevent disruptions to interstate commerce. The idea was to promote collective bargaining in the railroad industry. But, and here's the catch, it kind of unintentionally gave unions a ton of power. Think about it. They became the exclusive bargaining agents. So they had huge sway over the workers' fates.
Okay, I see where this is going. But how could the workers even challenge the union? Didn't the union kind of have all the cards?
Well, the Supreme Court had already addressed this power imbalance back in 1944 with Steele v. Louisville and Nashville Arco. That case was huge. It basically said unions, because they're the exclusive bargaining agents, have a legal duty to represent all employees fairly, no matter what. No discrimination.
So Steele set the stage, and then Conley comes along and really puts those principles to the test.
Exactly. In Conley v. Gibson, these black workers weren't just saying the union failed to challenge their dismissals and demotions. They were saying the union actively collaborated to replace them with white workers, a much bolder claim.
Wow. So how did the union respond?
They tried to get the case dismissed. Had a couple of arguments. First, they said the National Railroad Adjustment Board should have exclusive jurisdiction over the whole thing.
Trying to keep it in-house.
Right. The board was set up by the Railway Labor Act to handle disputes within the industry. So the union was saying, look, this isn't for the courts to decide. It's an internal matter.
Interesting tactic. What was their other argument?
Their second argument was that the railroad itself was an indispensable party to the lawsuit. Said the case couldn't go forward without the railroad company directly involved.
Trying to shift the blame, perhaps?
Maybe. But the Supreme Court wasn't buying it.
Didn't fall for it.
Nope. They totally rejected those arguments. The Supreme Court upheld the workers' right to sue the union directly for breach of its duty of fair representation. It was a big deal. Sent a message that workers can hold their unions accountable for discriminatory practices.
Powerful stuff. The court basically said, you can't hide behind procedure. You have a responsibility to these workers, and we're going to make sure you uphold it. So it sounds like this set a huge precedent. Not just for the railroad industry, right?
You got it. Conley v. Gibson had a ripple effect that went way beyond the railroad industry. It set a new standard for fair representation across the board. But before we get into all that.
So the workers won their right to sue. But like, what happened to them? Did they get their jobs back? Did the union actually face any consequences?
That's a good question. We got to remember, the Supreme Court ruling in Conley v. Gibson, it didn't automatically solve everything for the workers. It just gave them the right to their day in court. You know, the case went back to the lower courts, and that's where the workers had to prove their discrimination claims, and the union had their chance to defend themselves.
Got it. So, more like a turning point in their fight, not an immediate victory. What kind of evidence would they even need to prove their case? Like, how do you even begin to prove something like that?
Well, they had to show a pattern of discrimination by the union, like demonstrate that black workers were way more likely to be laid off or demoted, or that the union wasn't representing their interests during grievance procedures. Maybe even find some evidence of the union working with the railroad to favor white workers.
Man, that must have been incredibly difficult to prove, especially back then. Like, it was the 1950s. Systemic racism was just the norm. Did they have any legal strategies, anything they could use to build their case?
Yeah, they did. The Steele decision, the one we talked about earlier, that was crucial. It laid out the whole duty of fair representation thing. It gave them a framework for challenging the union's actions, but proving intentional discrimination. That's a whole other level. They had to show the union was deliberately targeting black workers, not just messing up or being careless.
Right, right. Big difference between a mistake and outright discrimination. Do they have any witnesses or documents to back up their claims?
I'm sure their lawyers would have looked everywhere for evidence. Testimonies from other black workers, internal union documents, maybe even try to connect the union's actions to the overall racism in the railroad industry.
Sounds like a huge undertaking,
yeah.
Especially in that social and political climate. Did the workers face any backlash for going up against the union? I mean, that's a pretty powerful institution to challenge.
It's definitely possible. Jim Crow South, remember? Challenging the way things were, especially when it came to race, that was risky. But these workers, they were brave. They kept fighting for justice. Really shows you how bad the situation was and how dedicated they were to equality.
Yeah, totally. Going up against their employer, A&D, their union, those were the two entities that controlled their lives. So what was the long-term impact of Conley v. Gibson? Did it actually change how unions operated?
Conley v. Gibson had a massive impact on unions. I think it was a wake-up call. Forced unions to deal with the discrimination happening within their own ranks. They had to start ensuring fair representation for everyone.
Do we know if any unions actually changed their practices because of this case?
It's hard to say for sure. You know, it's tough to link one court case to widespread change, but I think Conley definitely pushed unions toward being more inclusive. After the ruling, lots of unions created anti-discrimination policies, started reaching out to minority workers, and put more effort into handling grievances related to race.
So it wasn't just a legal win, but a social and institutional shift. Did this awareness of discrimination in unions lead to any bigger changes, like at the national level?
Oh, for sure. Conley sparked conversations about civil rights and labor protections, contributed to the whole civil rights movement, helped set the stage for laws like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, you name it.
Crazy to think how this case, which started with a group of railroad workers in Texas, ended up having such a huge impact on the whole country.
It really shows you the power of people coming together and holding powerful institutions accountable. Conley v. Gibson is a perfect example of how legal battles can bring about real social change.
It also makes you think about the people involved in this case. The workers who stood up for themselves. The lawyers who fought for their rights. The judges who sided with justice. They changed the landscape of labor rights and civil rights in America. Their impact is still felt today.
And it's a good reminder that even big legal victories are just the beginning. The fight for true equality never really ends. Conley v. Gibson was a huge step forward, but the struggle for fair treatment continues.
Yeah, for sure. And this case shows us that those struggles often start with ordinary people who decide to stand up for what's right, even when it seems impossible.
Absolutely. Conley v. Gibson is a testament to the power of courage and determination, to never giving up on fighting for a more just and equitable world.
So Conley v. Gibson, a real turning point, not just for railroads, but for labor rights everywhere. But how does this case, from way back when, how does it affect us today? What are the lessons here that still matter in the 21st century?
Well, one of the biggest takeaways is the duty of fair representation. It's still crucial. Even though Conley was about racial discrimination, the idea behind it applies to all kinds of discrimination. Unions, they got to represent all their members equally, no matter their race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, anything like that.
Right. Everyone deserves a voice. Everyone's rights need to be protected. But hasn't the whole labor landscape changed since the 1950s? Does Conley still hold the same weight now? I mean, things are different, right?
Oh, absolutely. The way we work has totally transformed. We've got the gig economy now, automation, and way fewer people belong to unions. But that core idea, fair representation, it's still just as important.
Can you give us some examples, like how Conley might apply to today's workforce? I'm having a hard time picturing it.
Sure. Think about gig workers. They don't have the same protections as traditional employees, and it's harder for them to organize. The principles from Conley could help them advocate for better treatment and representation, even if they don't have a traditional union.
So adapting those old principles to new problems.
Exactly. Or think about algorithms, you know, the ones used for hiring and evaluating employees. Conley can help us make sure those algorithms aren't biased. We don't want them discriminating against certain groups of workers. The fight for fair representation has to keep evolving as work changes.
Makes sense. It's like Conley gives us a framework for thinking about fairness and equity at work, no matter how much technology changes or how jobs are structured.
Exactly. And it reminds us that workers have legal options when their rights are violated. Conley empowers workers to fight back against discrimination, to hold those in power accountable.
It's amazing to think that a case from so long ago is still relevant today. It's like a reminder that workers have rights and they have ways to protect those rights. Colony v. Gibson, quite a legacy.
Definitely. And for the listener who sent in these excerpts, it shows that understanding a legal case isn't just about the facts, it's about the impact it has on society. Colony v. Gibson, it's a perfect example of how legal battles can spark real change and shape the world we live in.
The fight for justice and equality, it never ends. Every generation has to do their part to make things better. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Hope you found it interesting.
It's been a pleasure exploring this case with you.
And to all our listeners, keep those questions coming. We're always ready for another deep dive.